And with your peanuts and Cracker Jacks, maybe you're also grabbing a beer. Major sporting events like Major League Baseball at games and the Final Four tournament, which gets underway tomorrow at University of Phoenix Stadium, will keep the alcohol flowing. Not to mention you'll find it at weddings and funerals, in church and in bars. In Sin City and even Vatican City, you'll find some kind of alcohol.
Yeah, for centuries, humans have had a complicated relationship with alcohol. Andrew Curry is a freelance journalist in Berlin. He reported on this relationship in February's National Geographic magazine cover story called Our 9,000-Year Love Affair with Booze.
It turns out there's a lot of archaeology and a lot of science that's gone on in the last 10 or 15 years looking at how deeply entwined alcohol is in human culture and civilization. Just about anywhere in the world you look, people have found a way to brew or ferment or produce alcohol going back thousands and thousands of years.
According to Curry, this complex relationship stems from our earliest primate ancestors' love for the fermented fruit that fell on the forest floor. Not only did the fruit make them feel good, but it was critical to their survival.
One of the other things I thought was really interesting was this deep evolutionary history that we have evolved to digest or break down ethanol, which is the stuff that makes you drunk in alcohol. And we've also evolved a craving for it. So there's this built-in reason that we love alcohol so much.
But as humans evolved, so did our uses for and dependency on alcohol. Access to this so-called water of life came to symbolize power. The people that produced it pulled the strings. But there were slight variances in how ancient cultures used alcohol. Some were conservative.
You have the Greeks who actually wouldn't drink wine without watering it down first, and thought that beer and drinking wine straight were things that only barbarians did, because it led to drunkenness, and drunkenness was a loss of control that civilized couldn't tolerate. And yet drinking was a huge part of their culture, and they gathered sort of semi-religious rituals to drink and talk.
But the ancient French would give up a slave for a drink.
Before the Romans took over France, the French didn't actually produce wine. They had to import it all from Italy at great cost. I mean, they were talking about one huge wine jar being worth one slave. So, you know, drinking wine was worth somebody's life.
Alcohol also plays a role as a social lubricant. It has a way of bringing people together globally and locally. Adam Mazouk is the assistant manager at Valley Bar in downtown Phoenix, and he's seen alcohol's social power.
Every Friday and Saturday, it's like we throw this magic switch, and all of a sudden, everyone goes onto the dance floor. And that's probably because everyone got the right amount of drunk to go dance. And it happens every Friday and Saturday, like clockwork, at 11:30. It's really impressive to watch.
Mazouk says alcohol is affecting the city as well.
Downtown Phoenix is just getting better and better. There are so many new watering holes popping up that are bringing people down. And I don't want to say that alcohol is helping build the community, but in a way, it really is.
Dan Clocky, vice president of the Development Department of Downtown Phoenix, Inc., agrees. He says the influx of restaurants and bars provides hope for continued growth.
For the first time really since the 1950s, downtown is a neighborhood. And people talk about downtown in that way as opposed to just a place or a place to go and leave. And I think that this mixture of restaurants and bars and also music venues have played an important part in that too. That's all sort of creating this positive feedback loop that is allowing us to build more, especially residential right now. And I think that'll continue on.
That's Dan Clocky with Downtown Phoenix, Inc., and you're listening to the show. Cheers.